know you can't meditate. If you afraid, then come on with me. And I know what you came here to do. Now let me see you get loose. This is going down for real.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
What's up, Dog Pound? The Browns preseason opener is in the books, going down for real last night at First Energy Stadium. The Browns falling 20-17, but those who would take a more optimistic view of it, like yours truly, would say that when the players who might actually be playing in the games that matter were on the field, the Browns were up 14-3, and certainly Josh McCown, the first team offense, walked right down the field, putting the Browns up 7-0 early in the game. We're going to break this down today. It's myself, Matt Wilhelm, the kid, back in studio for the first time in a long time. The kid, welcome back.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
We're certainly glad to have you. So we're
Didn't even know what day it was when he walked in the studio.
I know.
I guess it was Thursday last night, and it is now Friday.
It feels good. The kid, you'll be happy to know that I have a few Taco Bell bets out there with Jason Gibbs and some members of our listening audience as well. So if I win all of them, which I will, it'll be more Taco Bell than I can eat.
$12.50 for you, $12.50 for him.
Yes, you being such a fan of the Bell, you will be allowed to partake. So that's we got that out of the way. That's the good news there. We'll start with that. All right, so this game, let's just go. I'll go around the table quickly. Initial thoughts. It's Ohio Business Machine's hot topic of the day. You've seen the team for the first time. What was your just initial takeaway from last night, Matt?
My initial takeaway of the team, of the guys that will most likely matter for this football team, was very positive. You know, you look at Josh McCown, I'm not buying into, oh, we went 5-for-5. He's darn near perfect or perfect. That's not reality. But what I loved what I saw to him. I saw the pocket presence. I saw the dink and dunk. I thought he was decisive throwing those speed outs because they're available to Travis Benjamin and Brian Hartline. Why not move the sticks and build confidence, not just in himself, but in the offense as well? And what I truly loved about Josh McCown, as most, I'm sure, callers and everyone's perspective will be, is that was a true football play down in the red zone. How many times does the pocket break down? It's not, you know, when you draw it up, it doesn't always happen the way it's supposed to, but him running right, deviating, being athletic enough to move back right, find the open guy in the back of the end zone. Because I thought it could have been a nice collision and a score had he run the football in, but he chose to throw it, as a quarterback should, to a wide open receiver in the back of the end zone. Liked what I saw out of Johnny Manziel. First play of the game, love what I saw out of Isaiah Crowell. That outside zone scheme for falling forward for 5 yards, I'll take that any day of the week. But after that, the run game just looked blah. And the one thing that I don't want to say scares me, the one thing that I'm concerned about is the significant drop off on the offensive line from the starters to the second group. No quarterback had a chance to do anything with that second group. And that concerns me because, as we've talked all offseason, depth, competition, that's what we love about this roster being built.
The one difference I'll say with that is, though, we do have a sixth man this year, and Irvin being able to play just about any spot, or really any spot on the line, I think alleviates that a little bit. But I agree. I texted Nate during the game that I thought the second team O-line looked terrible. What I was most impressed with was the offense and the players that are going to be playing offensively. I really liked what I saw out of the offense. And I'm not as worried about the run game as everyone else because, you know, once Alex Mack settles back in, Joe Thomas is back in there, whether it's Irvin or Greco at the other guard spot, I think we're going to run the ball just fine. I was a little bit underwhelmed, or a lot underwhelmed, by the defense in general. And it's the same thing as last year. It took them about 6 games to really settle in. But
this is the same scheme.
It just seems to me that, like,
with different tweaks,
why we always have such a problem. It looks like you got the run game contained, and then the guy gets a 6-yard gain. I don't know. I'm not a scheme guy, but I could just tell you.
Give me a whiteboard, and I'll show you.
As an everyday Joe fan, it's very frustrating. And if that continues, then what should be a great defense is not going to be. And I think that the experiment with one number one pick from last year is just about over. And I'm not talking about Johnny. Let's get Joe Hayden back on the field. And as far as I'm concerned,
listen, let me just tell you, the good news with that is, for everybody who's frustrated with Justin Gilbert, is that he's the number 5 corner right now. If Pierre was healthy, Pierre was playing in that spot.
Well,
and
that
I like that
news.
He got the reps there. I think it's good for him. he had the awful blown coverage, and I've never, ever seen a guy on the Browns call out another guy on his team as demonstratively as Tashawn Gibson did after that play. He wanted him off of the field and was loud about it, was gesturing to the coaches like he wanted him off the field, benched after that play.
But yeah, because you can't have that. He compromises everything you stand for as a defensive backfield.
When you can't trust him to run the play that's called.
Or see the signal and communicate the signal back, as you heard this, or you saw Tashawn tap his helmet. Tapping that helmet means, and I think listening to the broadcast or whether it was TV, it looked like cover two to me. And when you stress that, when you get two verticals, you have to carry those verticals. You can't just dump them.
Here's the thing that disappointed me the most. He said, and I saw a quote from him, after that, I was flawless. He must have been playing in a different game than I was watching.
Well, good coverage on Garcon. They went at him twice later on, and he played better. But what he did was inexcusable, and he still at times looks very much lost to me. Pro Football Focus, by the way, gave him the worst grade of any player on the Browns in the game. So what I saw that I liked, let's remember, only the first teams play in the National Football League, and maybe you have rotational guys that are part of your first team, barring injury. So I thought that the first team offense looked very good throwing the football. Josh McCown, he was very solid, poised. I liked the game plan, and they did take the one shot down the field. It led to a pass interference penalty. Those numbers don't show up in the stats, but those are big plays.
They are.
And he saw the one-on-one matchup. He put the ball up there. I thought that was a very smart thing to do, and Travis Benjamin was a smart play.
Yeah, and lost his footing on the throw as well.
Right, which made it a little
more
errant.
Which was a little underthrow, which kind of played into Travis Benjamin going for it and the defender recognizing it was underthrown, trying to come back for it. So it worked in our favor.
It did.
But I love the fact that Josh McCown in his 6, 8, 12 snaps was willing to take that shot down the field to a guy that is probably, other than Taylor Gabriel, probably the only other deep ball threat in this wide receiving core right now.
And Travis Benjamin's going to make this team. I've seen enough. He is himself again. He's running fast, and I think he does enough for this team. I think he's going to make this team at wide receiver.
Let me make my first way too early judgment call of the season right now and tell you that Josh McCown, modern day Rich Gannon.
Rich Gannon,
let's not forget, was a backup quarterback for a really long time. They put pieces around him, including a good O-line in Oakland, and he was a star. I'm looking for Josh McCown with the protection. They're going to keep his jersey clean. I'm looking for huge things out of him.
Well, I went back and I looked at some of the numbers for Josh McCown last year. Do you know that 9 of his 14 interceptions came when he was under pressure, and he was pressured the second most of any quarterback in the NFL, almost 44% of his dropbacks. By comparison, the Browns quarterbacks were pressured about 25% of their dropbacks. So that's a significant change, and that's going to help
him. And where's their offensive coordinator from last year coaching?
He's the running backs coach at Oklahoma State. I think Josh McCown looked great. He picked up where he left off. I'm happy with him. Johnny Manziel, I'd call it a mixed bag. I saw some good things, some good recognition. He went through some of his progressions. The touchdown was a nice run, recognized the man coverage, and the parting of the season got in there. I also, though, saw some of the old Johnny getting to the top of his drop, not climbing the pocket, scissor kicking when he tried to throw it off balance, and almost threw a pick six
as a result of that. Yes, he did. Off his back foot with a little bit of pressure in his face. He flung it quick. He didn't follow through, and his body was leaning away from the defender.
I think it's like changing a golf swing, though. You're not going to go all the way. It's not going to always be everything better. It was way better than what we saw previously.
Yes.
Step in the right direction, and with Rich Gannon part two in front of him, he could sit back and get better. And, you know, we just need him in 2 years when McCown's ready to hang it up and become the offensive coordinator.
So should we call him – we saw RG3 last night, so should we reference that? We have RG2.
We got RG2. There you go. RG2. They have RG3, okay. We have RG2.
Yes, we do.
I want to go through kind of – since we'll have time, we'll take calls as well, but I kind of want to go through each position group and go through this game and kind of get our thoughts on it. So we'll start
Should we grade it?
Yeah, we can grade them.
We can grade it.
We can grade
them. And give a quick reference to what we liked and what we disliked.
Yeah, so I would say – and it's tough to grade completely because, you know, you're mixing in, you know, the starters and the backups. And by the way, we're going to have Dan Wetzel from Yahoo Sports, who was at the game last night, and we're also going to have Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, with us at 2 o'clock. Dan Wetzel will be 1:30. So you looked at this game. I just want to go still top level. I thought that the starting offensive line looked okay, but Josh McCown was under some pressure, and there weren't running lanes. The only play that a running back had room, really, was the first carry of the game, and Crow pressed it up in there and got 5 yards.
Right.
I don't think Crow and West were dancing. I don't think they weren't pressing the hole. They were. There weren't holes.
I agree with you.
And that concerns me because this is a team that says they want to come out and run the football. It's one thing to say you're going to run the ball. It's another thing to be able to do it. And this team's going to need to be able to do it. And so I want to see it. Buffalo, I think we're going to find out all we really need to know about if this team is actually going to be able to run the football when they want to, when we go to Rochester and then have that game. Those three days will tell a lot.
Because that group across the front in that 3-4 defense, those front five, and they've got good line. You could have good linebackers behind a great defensive line, and everybody in that front seven will look great. But that front five, the three guys and that are going to be down and their two outside linebackers are going to be as formidable opponents that the Browns will see at any point throughout the regular season. So if we can push them around and we can create some seams and move them, we can move anyone.
Yeah, I'm not so much worried about the game. The practice is where you're going for a couple hours and really going after it. I'd be interested in these games. I think running the ball is really something that's a rhythm. A lot of times, you know, the great running teams, it's the first half, you're wearing them down, you're wearing them down, you're wearing them down. Then you get the yardage in the second half. So I'm not so worried about the rushing totals in the game. But it will be interesting to see if we can open up holes in the practices. And more importantly, if the running backs can hit the holes.
I thought our run defense was good up the middle. I thought Danny Shelton made a massive difference. You could see
him. Does he not get a lot of attention in there?
He gets a lot of attention.
I mean, and a guy not as strong, a guy that's 300 pounds, in the situations he was in last night, even being a preseason game, would get ping-ponged around. If he's not 339, and if he's not, you know, tree trunks for legs and big, stocky guy, he doesn't get as much attention. So he truly locks up that middle for this defense, and I loved watching him play. He didn't have a tackle for a loss. He didn't get the type of penetration in the passing game that I would have liked at this point, but him getting, like, he was just getting shoved around, but he never moved more than 6 inches the whole game.
He would stand their center up and make the backs pick one way or the other, which I liked. I continue to be concerned with the run defense on the edges.
Yeah.
And if you want to jump in at any point, go ahead and you can talk about schematically why they struggle. But when you look at this team, last year we got gashed up the middle, but we also got gashed to the edges. And last night we saw repeated runs to the outside have success. And you look at this team right now with the injury to Mingo, you've got Paul Kruger at one outside linebacker position, who is a very good pass rusher, not necessarily a run stopper. He's there to rush the quarterback. You've got Scott Solomon, who gives a lot of effort but has never been a standout. I mean, he came to the Browns in the middle of the season after being cut for a reason. And you've got, and I do love his effort. And then you've got Nate Orchard, who's a very raw rookie.
Learning on the run.
So I'm concerned about that edge defense. I was very happy with the defensive line. I thought the second team defensive line had some moments where they didn't look as good. But I thought Dylan Wynn and Jamie Meter at the end of the game in the fourth quarter
stood out.
Really, really stood out to me as two guys who were all over the place. Dylan Wynn was in the backfield a couple times. He had a quarterback hit. He had a quarterback hurry. I think that he looks good. And Meter, 66, the local guy, also looked pretty good.
Yeah. For me,
let's go back to these outside, because this is something we talked about when we came in here. What's happening that's allowing so many of these bounce out runs to have such success?
Well, and again, I don't want to be negative in my approach, because I don't have a playbook. I'm not sitting in these meeting rooms hearing what they're being coached to do. My best guess is that these outside linebackers, once they go through their run pass read, have the opportunity to create almost like a two-way go. Meaning, if Paul Kruger engages a tight end and he feels as if the play is going to go inside, he can fall inside. But the situation is, you have to be right, and that ball has to go inside. And the other half of it is, when you choose to go inside, someone behind you, the support behind you, whether it's a scraping linebacker, Craig Robinson, Carlos Dansby, Christian Kirksey, or a down safety, Tashaun Gibson, Dante Whitner, in that situation, know that you're going inside on the run, so that they can fill and support properly off the hip of that tight end that's going to wall you down inside, if that makes sense. I mean, I'm picturing it in my head happening as it did last night. Every 3-4 defense I've been a part of, we've been good against the run, or we've been great against the run. We've never been bad against the run. But it goes back to proper technique and really setting that edge and just being physical and engaging. And that's where the philosophy of this defense, I don't know. They might want that ball to run east and west and bump it out to make a corner or a safety have to make that play. I don't know. A lot of places that I've been, want to knock it back in to let Dansby, Robertson, Kirksey, or Dante Whitner cleaning up those tackles for a 3-4 yard gain.
Don't you want to almost go to the extreme and set the edge because you know you have Danny in the middle clogging the middle?
Yes.
It's going to be tough to have big runs up the middle against this
right.
team.
Right. Yes.
I got to think that that's the one thing coming out of that game that Jim O'Neill is, that's going to be, in my opinion, what he's going to just be harping on all for the next week until there's another game. Like, he could be reasonably happy with the pass defense. I mean, you don't have two of your top three corners playing, so they're going to get some completions. But I got to think that he just was not pleased with the rush.
Well, I agree.
Just listen to this. Listen to these numbers real quickly. The Redskins ran between the tackles yesterday, and this is what one of the great things about Pro Football Focus is that you can find these things out. The Redskins ran between the tackles yesterday 17 times, 17 rushes, and they picked up a grand total of 34 yards between
the
tackles.
2 yards a carry.
That's 2 yards a carry. Outside of the tackles, let's see, they had two outside. They had 1 for 5. They had 2 for 25, 4 for 23, and 3 for 24. So that's
a lot for a lot.
7, 9. That's 10 carries. 77 yards. So they averaged 7.7 yards a carry outside of the tackle box, outside of the guards, and between the tackles, they averaged 2 yards a carry. And set the effing edge and force them up the middle.
Right, and that's where what comes into play, something that I continually talk about or throughout the is gap integrity. There's only so many gaps that you have to be responsible for. And in the situation I just talked about and communicating with support behind you, what happens is you get two guys in one gap. Two guys in one gap leaves what? Another gap open. And the running backs in this National Football League, just like a quarterback will always find that open receiver, they will find that open lane.
They've got to set the edge, and they did. And we saw Matt Jones, the rookie out of Florida for them, had a couple nice runs that he bounced outside and looked very, very good. But that makes me feel good, though, when we actually looked at it. We talked about what we thought we saw. The numbers support what we saw. And if you can funnel these runs up the middle with Shelton and company, I think we can have a good run defense.
The job gets easy as a linebacker.
The thing that's interesting to me is as far back as when Dane Brugler said the Browns were going to take him in the first mock draft, he just always made sense for us. He's come right in, and I think you'll see teams game planning for him right away. I mean, this talk about a home run pick that you could see right away. I think that you could say that right now after one preseason game that Danny Shelton was a great pick.
Yes.
I definitely think he changes what they're going to do. All right. When we come back, we're going to open up the phone calls, 216-578-0850. We are also going to go ahead and discuss each position. We'll kind of go through, give our thoughts. A guy who stood out. I thought there were some nice young players who showed up late in the game. I also thought there were some stinkers on the offensive side of the ball.
Do we still not like fall in love every day with E.J. Bibbs a little bit more?
I love
By the way, you say that Benjamin's on the team. I'll pound my fist on the table right now. E.J. Bibbs made the team.
E.J. Done. Bibbs right now.
He's on the team. He might start.
He's got to be ahead of Rob
Hauser.
And
did Josh Lenz not disappear last night?
Did he have a catch?
He did. 1 for 5.
He did 1 for 5
one
yards?
1 for 5. Okay, I looked it up.
He had one more than
just
this.
Just to come to radio
does
and talk about it.
Does he have practice squad eligibility?
He does.
He does.
That's where he'll be.
All right.
He does. Well, that puts Taco Bell.
We're giving away Luke Bryan tickets today as well.
We are. E.J.
Stay
Bibbs,
tuned,
by
peeps.
The way, 3 catches, 29 yards on the day there.
Luke Bryan.
Who's Luke Bryan? Come on. He's like one of the biggest country stars around. That was on 4 targets, by the way, Job Stuns. Rob Hausler, nary a catch, and he was working against the third team a lot in that game. Interesting. All right, back with more Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, right after this.